I do, and we have to decide who. I've got a packet for a layperson, and I've given a packet to a pastor. So who wants to bear, do you want to bear the layperson?
Well, she goes to a different church.
Yeah, you don't want her to take our packet.
I won't have one, but I'll have to come looking for you guys.
No, you should take it.
Yeah, take something for yourself, but.
Because we'll get it from our minister.
Well, I can just make copies and I'll bring them.
Yeah.
No, are you saving it for somebody?
I just.
They're wearing, he's coming back to share.
But the sheriff's there.
It's a lot of responsibility, Diane.
That's mine.
To him, much is given, right?
That is right.
Gina.
Where'd he go?
Okay.
It's on the north end.
It's north of the. Okay.
Carol. We went to Minnesota.
I had five Pelican rabbits.
I ran.
Not Alexandria.
Oh, barn, yeah. I knew it was, so I have a good one. And that on the good point, me there. Here, do you want?
There's always been.
And what should I tell?
But they also, one thing is. Because they're. It's all offices.
That's right.
Have.
Because we had some friends over there.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't very much. I don't know, I'll say it on this. Yeah. Okay, we get nine.
You may start the tape. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the love of God.
And the love of God.
And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Be with us all, be with us all evermore.
Be with us all, be with us all evermore.
Let's try the whole thing.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, be with us all evermore.
Big ending. Coming to this session that is called Enhancing, Strengthening Our Capacity to Engage One Another. Part of this week-long look at how we enhance our capacity for ministry. Today we're specifically going to talk about how we agree to behave with one another, which is something that sometimes in the church we don't always do so well. And some of you were here yesterday when I tried to establish my credibility as a presenter by inviting you into some agreements about how we might operate together. And I think I got one of them out before I went brain dead. You remember that? The respect guidelines are a kind of a simple pattern of how we can agree to talk together. And these are the respect guidelines built on the acronym RESPECT. R stands for take responsibility for what you think and feel. In other words, don't blame others, but rather take responsibility for yourself. And so one of the hallmarks of that is when people make I statements. I think, I feel, I wonder. And to be able to be curious rather than to be blaming. E stands for use empathetic listening. Empathetic listening is the kind of listening where you have a sense that I am paying full attention to you. Empathetic has to do with being able to wear your moccasins, even though they may not quite fit my feet. Use empathetic listening. S, be sensitive to differing communication styles. Some people talk a lot. Some people are very quiet. I have a friend in whose home there are some speakers and there are some signers. And that is a difference in communication style that really requires a lot. Help me for a minute. If someone is quiet in a meeting, what might that mean?
They're thinking.
That they're thinking?
They're bored.
That they're bored?
They're tired, maybe.
That they're tired?
Angry.
They're very shy.
That they're angry? That they're shy?
Processing.
That they're processing?
Disagreeing.
That they're disagreeing?
That they're non-confident to present the views that they're feeling?
That they're not feeling confident. That's a wonderful array of what one particular set of behaviors might mean. And so when an extrovert leader says, Joan, you have been really quiet during this meeting. We want to hear from you. What are the chances that that's going to be a helpful intervention?
No.
Honey, I'm sorry.
Come out now.
Okay, thanks.
I'm fairly extroverted, and I'm married to someone who is an introvert who can, when she's leading, flip her extrovert switch and be on. And she's helped me understand a great deal about the inner life of introverts and how extroverts violate their authority oftentimes. So being sensitive to different communication styles. Ponder. P stands for ponder before you think, before you speak. Ponder what you're going to say before you speak. Those of us who know best how to insert, how does it go?
Open mouth, insert foot.
Open mouth, insert foot. Yeah, you know that one? Underneath the pondering, we're trying to get at what our assumptions and perceptions are. So if I assume that because someone is quiet, X, Y, or Z, you know, if I make that kind of assumption, you gave me 10 or 12 options. So I have to be pretty careful about what I assume because there's a very good chance I may not have it right. And that also goes to the heart of a lot of what we're doing in Matthew 18. When we've had some kind of experience where we feel offended, we really are going to the other to kind of check out our assumptions. Here's a big one. How many of you have ever served on a church committee or a church board or a call committee? Okay, good. Now, when you were in that role, was there any clarification about what it meant for you as a member of that group to keep confidence? Did anyone ever have a conversation about what that meant? A few people. most of the experience that I've had with people is they say they really haven't done that. And so if we are asked to keep confidence, but we never clarify what in fact that means, then we're just set up for trouble. So when we say keep confidence, what I'm saying here is, are my talking about what happens when we're gathered together needs to focus on building up people and building up the community of Christ, not on tearing it down. And when I tell stories out of school, am I building up or tearing down?
Tearing down.
So the goal of keeping confidence is to protect people and their reputations and allowing them to have the opportunity to share private material and trust that it's going to be respected. Buckle your seatbelts. Here's the toughest one for some of us. T stands for trust ambiguity, or if trust is too hard, tolerate ambiguity. Because we're not here to debate who's right or wrong. For a lot of folks, especially folks who have a certain kind of pattern on the Myers-Briggs or a certain kind of pattern in their personality, that really doesn't make sense because communication is all about who's right and who's wrong. It's about clear, precise definitions. But when we're doing this kind of work, when the goal is relationship, do you know the American Sign Language symbol for relationship? Can you put your, make a circle with your thumb and your first finger and put it together? That's the sign for relationship. This is the sign for broken relationship. So in the church, we're interested in relationships. We think that they have a very, very high priority. In fact, we'd say that the priority of relationship is at the ultimate level on any kind of values chart. So, take responsibility for what you think or feel. Use empathetic listening, be sensitive. Well, let's do it this way. After each petition, say, I will. Will you, members of this enhancing congregational capacity class, take responsibility for what you think and feel without blaming?
I will.
Will you use empathetic listening?
I will.
Will you be sensitive to different communication styles?
I will.
Will you ponder before you speak?
I will.
Will you examine your assumptions and perceptions?
I will.
Will you keep confidentiality?
I will.
Will you trust ambiguity, knowing we're not here to debate who's right or wrong?
I will.
Then God be with us as we seek to keep these promises today. We say amen.
Amen.
The first time I had an opportunity to be with an Episcopal trainer named Eric Law, he spent about a half an hour going through the respect communication guidelines. I thought, well, that was nice. And they were on a handout and it was going to be easy to take them and use them. And then we came back from lunch and he went through the respect communication guidelines again. What's going on? Does he think we're idiots? And then the next morning, he went through the communication guidelines again. And he had a slightly different way of doing it, but he was passionately committed to the necessity of reminding ourselves again and again and again that when we are together as the body of Christ, we need to have some things front and center in terms of how we operate. And so, I try at the beginning of every church council meeting to invite people to turn to that place in their little council notebook where they have the guidelines, and we have a simple way we can do it in 5 minutes. But that kind of sets the tone with the prayer for how we're going to talk together. Now, what happens when Darius starts going on and on and he's talking to Joan? You did this morning, you did that this morning. So now what kind of help do we have as a group to enable better communication. What can you say to Darius?
Ponder before you speak.
Okay, so you try to get a handle on what I'm going to say. And then how might you use the guidelines to invite him to think about what he's doing?
Examine your assumptions and perceptions.
Okay.
I might say, I feel blamed, Darius.
You should be.
I wonder what's going on inside for you.
If this is your council meeting, don't you have an agenda? And don't you follow the agenda? You don't just start out with somebody ragging on somebody else?
You know, I think living in Heavenly Peace Lutheran Church as you do,
that's what we do.
Yeah, and that's absolutely wonderful.
Now, if it comes to your part of the, for instance, if you are on property management and there's something, then it's your turn to rag on somebody else. But you don't just start out the meeting that way. You start out with prayer, for one thing.
I think that I wish we could wave our magic wands and make all of those meetings work that way. But you know what? There's an awful lot of church councils that may have an agenda but very quickly move away from it. And that whenever anyone comes in with energy or passion or high emotionality, the whole council is often held hostage. And so there often aren't leaders who can help get us back on track. And there are some congregations that have the kind of skilled leaders that you're talking about. But there's an awful lot that don't.
Sometimes agendas are to control the council so you don't get at the issues that you're supposed to be getting at. And all that stuff is dealt with in the parking lot or before the meeting.
No.
And so that's the other side of it.
Yeah, I suppose it could be, but First Lutheran doesn't normally do things that way.
Bravo.
And I guess I thought everybody did.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
they don't. That's why I haven't been to your church yet.
Oh.
I deal with your church in the city.
You probably will.
What I'm saying to Darius, I understand you are feeling angry, but or something of that nature.
Well, and the one I'm kind of inviting you to think about is, you know, I'm noticing that as you're talking to John, you're using a lot of you statements. Would you be able to turn that and say what you want using an I statement so that she isn't feeling so blamed? So, you know, when you get familiar with these, you find ways to let them be a tool. I have a friend who, at a church council meeting, when someone launched into such an outburst, stood up and said, "Jim, I don't know if you know, but you are not invited to talk that way when we're gathered as the body of Christ." Mm. Now, please sit down. Now, that was the first time in 30 years that anybody had ever reined Jim in. And he didn't take to it very well. But that was the beginning, that was the first step of a process over the next several years where the council learned how to develop its muscles and not be held hostage by people who are highly emotional or impassioned. So part of what we're doing today is we're talking about how we can make agreements that will help our life together, which is about building up the body of Christ, which is honoring the spirit of Matthew 18. And I'd like to read Matthew 18 one more time, if you have a Bible, we're going to look at it. And I'm going to change a couple words so that they better reflect the Greek that is underneath the passage. So we're in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 20. And if you notice, right before this, verse 10, we have the parable of the lost sheep. He leaves the 99, goes to find the one that is astray. And immediately after this, in verse 21, Peter comes to him and says, "Lord, if a member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive?" So the context for these verses is all about forgiveness and reconciliation. Hear the word. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you make symphony on earth about any practical matter, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Did you see the switch that I snuck in verse 19? What does your English say?
Agree.
If two of you agree. Now this is a little aside for our brothers and sisters from Minnesota who won't get to be here Thursday. This poor translation has caused an incredible amount of harm to the body of Christ. When it says, if two of you make symphony, what do you think of when you think of symphony?
Harmony.
Different.
Harmony.
Different instruments.
Different instruments.
But complementary and enhancing.
Complementary or enhancing.
You have to listen to each other.
You have to listen to each other to play together?
Beautiful.
Beautiful. It can be beautiful. What else? Any of you had any kids that played in a seventh grade band?
That's not a symphony.
Let's call it cacophony. Cacophony, yeah.
Timing.
Timing? Do you know why Norwegians can't tell jokes timing? You can learn about that on the bus. We'll
practice?
It's not a solo.
It's not a solo. How about dissonance? Suspension? Tension? Different voices? A tuba and a piccolo and a violin all have a unique sound. And here, my sense is that if two of you make symphony, is really Jesus saying, hey, what kind of God do you have that you imagine God can't handle the difference in all of you? I mean, this is all about difference. How do we tolerate difference? If God can tolerate all of the difference in you, created in you, come on, sort of a slap up around the head. Get with it. Pay attention to one another. Develop a little sensitivity and listen and stretch your capacity to tolerate ambiguity and difference. Yeah.
Good. So John, you're saying that most versions have the word agree, but is to make symphony, is that the Greek?
The Greek verb is symphoesisin, which is the word that the word symphony is a noun from. So there's some, I think, you know, there's about a half a dozen words in Greek that it really makes it. I mean, it's and this is one of them, I think.
That it's worth learning?
That really have come into English so poorly that they really make a difference if you get at what's underneath it. I mean, there's probably more than a half dozen, but this is a key one. Okay, so here endeth the digression. I would like to invite five or six of you to come and play with me. This is the time when those of you who are better at volunteering get to step up. One, two, three, four, five. Oh, one. Can I have six of you or five of you come and play?
Come on.
Okay, that's two. Okay, here comes Dawn. Yay. And one more. All right, Cherry.
It's hard to get people at your challenges.
Yeah. I've never been in the Army, but I did learn never volunteer.
Never volunteer. Yeah, it was going to be hard for me to say, those of you who don't want to help, step back. That wasn't going to work. What we're going to do is we're going to use a process that is called mutual invitation. And mutual invitation is a process that can be used and is primarily used in Bible study as a way to share your own ponderings on Scripture. But we're going to use it here as a way to share with you what kind of ice cream we like. Okay? And here's how it works. I will share first, because I'm leading this little small group, and I will tell you my favorite ice cream. And then I have the honor of inviting someone else to share next. And whenever you are invited to share, you always have three choices. You can share, you can pass for now, or you can pass permanently. And just say pass. So let's just say the three. You can share, you can pass for now, or you can pass. Okay? So I'd like to ask Sherry if you, when you get asked, would you pass for now?
Sure.
And Don, when you get asked, would you pass permanently? Okay. So here we go.
But even if you pass, you still have the...
Thank you. And after you have been invited to share, even if you pass or pass for now and choose not to share, you still retain the right and the honor to invite the next person. Okay? So, I am so glad to be here, and I'd like to let you all know that my favorite ice cream, even though Holden is a close second, is the Jamocha almond fudge that I've been eating for 40 years at Baskin and Robbins. And Dawn, I would invite you to share.
Well, I like butter brickle.
Cool.
And Noah, would you like... I'm not in the group.
and even though it feels a little stilted, use language something like, and blank, I'd invite you to share next. Yeah, so maybe...
It's got to be in that little...
In this, in our
little... Semicircle right there.
Would you, Claire, would you like to share next?
Yes, I would.
I like Haagen-Dazs.